Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Law Shit You Should Know with Alina Santana
and Leslie Marenko.
And today we have Igor Hernandez. Hi, Igor.
Hey, what's up?
Why don't you tell our listening and viewing audience who you are and what you're all about?
So my name is Igor Hernandez, and I run a personal injury practice right here in Miami, Florida. And that's pretty much it.
And for the non-lawyers, what does that mean, personal injury?
Yeah, that's a good question. So that means we help people who have been injured in accidents get the money that they need, either to pay medical bills or for the pain and suffering, or if they're out of work, to get that money, that kind of stuff. And we do only represent people who are injured. We don't represent insurance companies or like defendants in those kinds of cases. We only do the injured people side.
So you don't do the defense of the people who caused the injury. You're
nope.
One-sided.
Exactly.
One-sided and proud, it sounds like.
100%.
Okay.
But like inside of personal injury, do you guys niche down? I mean, do you guys do med mal? Do you do, what did Dylan call it? Trip and fall? Slip and fall. I was like, okay, for all of you watching, we also had one of his partners on the podcast. So what inside of personal injury do you guys specialize in?
Yes, that's a great question. So there's a lot of different types of accidents people can have. And the law is actually different depending on what kind of accident it is. So we do not do medical malpractice. We do not do workers' compensation, which is basically if you're injured on the job, that's like a whole different set of laws.
A whole different world.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we do is slip and falls, we do car accidents, and we do negligent security, which is basically like somebody gets like shot at a bar because there wasn't proper security to keep that from happening. You can actually sue the bar for that because they have a responsibility to protect you when you go visit the establishment.
The owners.
Yeah.
So go for it.
So like, it used to be for the longest time in Florida that the shooter was not allowed to be in the verdict form. So the owner could not say like, yeah, like I didn't have security. I didn't do my part, but I'm not the guy who shot him. So like jury, you should make that guy have the fault for what happened.
Wait. What is a verdict form?
So
hold on.
So a verdict form is like a piece of paper. At the end of every trial, if it's a jury trial, the jury's gonna get this paper that says like, okay, question number one, was the person negligent? Yes or no? Question number two, if the answer to number one is yes, like
any negligence.
What percentage? Yeah. Okay. Number one is any negligence.
Any negligence.
Number
You're
two
somewhat
said,
at fault.
Right. And number two said, okay, if the answer to the one is yes, put the percentages between the different parties that could be responsible. So like let's say is personal number one negligent? Yes. Is personal number two sometimes the plaintiff? Is the plaintiff negligent as well? Yes.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
What are the percentages? Is it 37? Is it 50-50? Is it 10-90?
Is that always the case? Is the plaintiff also somebody that you can assign some negligence
almost
to?
Almost always because
makes of some, sense.
Yeah.
But you said the law used to be, so does that mean
no, so for a normal negligence case, the plaintiff is always on it. Actually in all cases of negligence, the plaintiff can go on it because almost all the time, the defendant uses something called comparative negligence.
Sure.
Which is says, like, yeah, I messed up, but you messed up.
Like,
too,
you got shot in the bar, but, bro, you're the
but
one
But you started the fight. You
right.
started the
Correct.
Fight.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You started the fight with the Karen, okay?
Karen. Not Carlos. Karen. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, yeah, Karen shot you, but you kind of deserved it,
you
right?
You kind of deserved it.
I mean, that's true, right?
I mean, Karen child support.
You pulled out her weave or some shit. Like, you know. I mean, you know.
No, that's true. That happens.
It right? definitely happens. There's great weave pulling out videos on the internet.
So you could assign some blame to Karen, but you could never assign blame before to Carlos.
Correct.
Whatever.
Yeah, so
wait, I'm getting all my parties fucked
so
up.
Before what used to happen was you could never say, hey, like, yeah, I messed up, but the shooter's that guy, so you should give him percentage.
So it was just the establishment and the plaintiff.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
And
you also can assign it to the person.
Correct. The law changed, and now they get to put the shooter on the verdict form. So the jury gets to say, was the bar negligent? Yes. Was the plaintiff negligent? Yes or no?
Sure.
And then it's like, tell me the percentages of responsibility between the bar, the plaintiff, and the guy who did the shooting or the raping.
Right.
So
obviously the guy who did the shooting or the raping or the killing or whatever this horrendous crime was is always going to get most of the blame.
Exactly. That's.
I mean.
That's the
so
theory.
You can get premises liability for a rape.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
It's actually the same law, the exact same law that applies to a slip and fall applies to a rape on somebody's bar, because it's a premises liability case. It's
But maybe a bar, but not like a 7-Eleven.
Anything.
Really?
I mean, if you get raped in the bathroom of a 7-Eleven, you're going to sue the 7-Eleven too for, I mean, how long does that employee eating shit at the front desk that didn't notice you got followed in by some creeper who was trying to rape your ass in the bathroom? I mean, I'm serious. Like, there's a key and shit, like locked bathrooms and all this fun stuff. Like,
yeah, but I guess like that's not something that's as common, right? So if you're the owner of the 7-Eleven and you know maybe drug deals are going down in your, I think Dylan said this, drug deals are going down in the parking lot and whatever, and you know, you have a duty to, I don't know, put RoboCop over there and make sure not as many drug deals, so the bullets when they're flying, they don't hit you. I don't know, right? But maybe it's not as common to see. Am I, as the owner of the 7-Eleven, also supposed to have RoboCop near the bathroom so people don't get raped in the bathrooms? How often does that happen?
Well, no, but like, think of, for example, let's say you own a gas station in the middle of a terrible urban area, right? And imagine that you don't change a single damn light bulb in your parking lot. Like, I mean, you know, this is the number one area in the city that gets, I don't know, people get robbed in the dark, whatever it is. You should keep your lights on, for God's sakes, or put a RoboCop in the parking lot, or some cameras, or some shit, right? Like, some sort of security precaution.
Wow, yeah. Interesting.
Because really, ultimately, what happens is the specific crime is not as important
as your duty to protect the public.
Right, like, did you know or have reason to know that criminal activity could happen to your customer?
Right.
Like you said, there's a lot of crime going on, people getting robbed or stabbed or whatever. Okay, that leads me as the business owner, the controller of the premises, to say, okay, I need more security because one of my customers could be getting robbed or stabbed or whatever. The specific crime, like what actually ends up happening to the customer, is not as important as the fact that I should have known that this could happen.
That some shit could go down in your
parking
lot.
At the end of the day, it's a matter of what the damages are when you got shot versus you got raped versus you got murdered versus...
So, right, the damages are going to be different.
Yeah.
Right? But also it's a jury question on the level of security required.
Okay.
Because you could be like, hey, I'm an ice cream fucking parlor, right?
Yeah, nobody's ever been raped in my bathroom, bro. All right? Maybe the drug deals go down in the bathroom, but you know what I mean? Like, the sexual assault happen here.
Not
like,
so much that, but
no?
But it's more like, what is the, let's say you're an ice cream parlor, right? Should you be expected
to have... An ice cream parlor.
Yeah, should you be expected to have, like, the same amount of security as a nightclub? Like from a jury.
I mean, that's like the most wholesome example of a place you can come up with. Like an ice cream.
I mean,
parlor.
I don't know, are these boozy ice creams? I feel like the alcohol is a big consideration here because people don't know how to fucking act.
Exactly. And that's like a real thing, right? Because the experts, when you do these cases, the netting security experts would say, well, we take into account the kind of business that it is.
Sure.
If it's a nightclub, you're expecting higher level of issues.
Yeah,
ratchetry.
Drinking.
Ratchetry.
Ratchetry.
Then at the ice cream parlor.
I'm like, what kind of ice cream parlors are these?
So all that goes into it. It's usually just like it's a analysis of all the circumstances.
And there are experts, you say, for this.
Yeah, 100%. There's people who...
Experts in ratchetry.
In levels.
I love it. In levels of ratchetry.
Levels. No, usually it's like either retired cops or... people who do like security consulting, you know, it's like the people, like, put it this way, if you were to have a business like a nightclub, one of the things that you should do is you say, okay, what should I do to keep my customers safe? Okay, so who do you hire to build out those policies and procedures to tell you this is the kind of security you need, that kind of stuff?
Right.
It's the same people that are going to end up testifying. Like, the same kind of role is the same that testifies.
And I'm assuming how many times has this happened before in similar places, in similar parts of town, right?
100%.
Comes into this security consultant's opinion.
100%. If it's like a quiet part of town, nothing's ever happened before, like... No reason to suspect this.
Like, everything at Coral Gables shuts down at like 11, guys. What could possibly happen here? You know what I mean? Like, come on.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
But Coral Gables is definitely better than other places, right? You know, like, if you go to the hood, like, that's a little more complicated.
One of my partners, who's like 60-something years old, moved out of Coral Gables, but que esto muy aburrido. Like, I was just like, are you fucking serious?
There's not enough ratchetry for
him. Like, there's just not enough for him. Excellent. He moved to Brickell, where the 25-year-olds are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he knows what his target market
is. He needs a little more speed, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. not his speed. I wish his work was at that speed. But you know, that's a different conversation. Wow. It's a different conversation. Wow. You know who I'm talking about.
Like, yeah, I definitely do.
You know who you are.
I definitely do. So anyways, but wait, let me come back to this verdict form. So now that you can assign blame,
To Karen,
who shot you. But you kind of deserved it.
Yes.
And the club should have had a metal detector on the way in. I'm just saying.
Wow. This is not a jail.
I mean, I guess it depends.
That's not reasonable. A metal detector?
If a school can have a metal detector, why wouldn't a club?
That's a good question.
No. Actually, he said good question.
I mean, I'm on your side here. That shit will come down to the jury, right? So like, whatever they think is reasonable under all the circumstances.
You don't think it's reasonable to have metal detector? Have you been to a club in Miami?
I mean, let's start there. That I'm the wrong person to ask.
I mean,
because like,
there's some ratchetry. Yeah,
to your point, right? Like, if they've had people before coming in there with guns and there's been issues,
exactly.
Like, yeah, you should have a metal detector, right? Like,
I mean, it's been a minute, but I think back to like my days of like. Okay, for anyone listening who grew up in Miami during certain years, Metropolis. Did you ever go to Metropolis?
I don't even know what that is.
Did you ever go to Metropolis? I'm dating myself all over the place. But if you ever went to Metropolis, it was in the middle of downtown Miami. It was known for multiple shootings. Mm. Like there were shootouts like every other weekend at Metropolis.
That was the allure. Huh?
It was like it was part of the allure.
That's where you
I guess.
Find Alina.
Whoa. It was a thing, okay? The point is that if I were the owner of Metropolis, I would have put a freaking metal detector at the entrance of that place. Because once you're on, like, shooting number three,
right.
I mean, like, oh, I mean, no. Who's not suing these people? Somebody, some parent somewhere is suing these people for sure.
Probably gets sued all the time.
I mean, I would assume. I mean, it's long gone now. Like, no longer. It's been a minute, which is why I was like, I'm aging myself with this comment. But it's not the cost of business because, I mean, the first time, sure. But I totally hear what you're saying. I agree. But how much do you really get now that this has changed and you can assign blame?
Nobody knows.
I mean, if Metropolis is only 10% liable, you know, like.
So nobody knows what's going to happen, right? The theory is you're going to get a lot less money.
Yeah.
Because the percentage is going to be skewed, even if it's just 50-50.
Karen's going to go bankrupt and have nothing to give
you. Actually, it's worse than that. They're not a defendant. They're just in the verdict.
Karen is in jail, bro. So, yeah. Karen has no money.
Karen's got some assets.
She's living off commissary and shit. Like, Karen's got nothing. Like,
Karen's
not worried about this. You know, even if you put Karen on the stand and she said, yeah, I shot that bitch. Like, I didn't like her face. And there's nothing to stupid.
I mean, you
like,
probably should put Karen on the stand, no.
Make it worse, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're the other side.
Is Karen allowed to testify?
Yeah, but typically the criminal case is pending when the civil case is pending, so they won't testify because they plead the fifth and all that.
Yes, they should.
Because Karen will be like, see, that MFR would not fucking pay my child support, and I hunted his ass to wherever he was at that night. I had nothing to do with what club he was in. Like,
don't care how much security there would have been. I would have still shot his ass, like, or right, like whatever it is. Like, I mean,
that is an argument.
That'd be terrible. Karen cannot come on the stand. Like, but has this rule as it's changed? Does it say that you know? Okay, you can add Karen to the verdict form, but you can't act like you're doing this whole thing against Karen.
What if Karen is like 99% at fault?
Oh, then the defendant's basically not liable in a sense. Because, yeah, they'll get hit for the 1%, but it would reduce the amount that you get.
So by 1%?
By 99%.
That's fucking crazy.
So.
No, this is too big of a risk for you guys to be doing whatever if there's, I guess, an overt.
It's not so much the risk because any injury case, all that stuff, there's going to be risk, right? But it's like nothing got safer, but the people who had the duty
clearly
to
not.
Do, yeah, like, but the people.
No,
who
no. If anything, things are going to go in the opposite direction.
Correct.
If now I'm the owner of the Metropolis, and I know that you could go assess blame to Karen, right? If anything, the cost of doing business is good.
Yeah, it got cheaper.
Yeah.
It got cheaper.
Why would I make shit safer? Yeah. Fuck that.
Metropolis.
Metropolis.
I feel like Metropolis deserves the Metropolis.
What replaced the Metropolis?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
no, but it was an entire city block club with five different rooms.
In downtown.
Yeah, playing five different types
with
of music.
With the homeless.
That's why it was called Metropolis, because it was a city within itself. Like, they had five different rooms, so there was the Latin music room. You could go space? Fucking salsa. I don't know. You used to go salsa, and then you got sick of that. You went to, like, the trance room, and you do the hip-hop room, and you just move around. There were five different rooms. They were all decorated in the style of whatever music they were playing, and it was a great time. It was, like, all in one club. And it was 18 and over was the best part. So you could get in.
Oh, no. Underage drinking. Okay, Igor. Wow. You missed the good old days, my friend.
I did.
You missed the good old days.
You know, these are the early 2000s in Miami. Y2K and all that jazz.
I also miss the good old days.
These were the good days. Anyways, we digress. So we got, I think we got the premises liability down here. But anything else unique to Miami that happens other than the Metropolis, apparently?
Well, anything else related to this statute that has also changed that has, like, royally fucked the public? Because the only person I could see that this helps is clearly not me when I get shot wherever.
So I wish
when
I had,
Karen wants her child support.
I wish I had good news on that, but it really was a whole host of things that did not help people. It's all, like, business oriented, and don't get me wrong, I'm a strong proponent of business in making money and shit like that, but nothing that passed was to help anybody except for industry.
Like, don't let them lie to you. Don't let them lie. Don't let them fool you.
Yeah, 100%. And so, like, they changed the... So, it used to be, if you take a red light and you hit me, let's say we're driving, right? Uh-huh. You crashed into me, you blew a red light.
Yeah.
It's kind of your fault.
It's kind of your fault. Allegedly.
Let's say I was...
Was it yellow?
No. Let's say it's red, right?
It's red. There's witnesses.
And let's say I was speeding, so it's kind of my fault too,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
It used to be that if the jury said, I am...
Did I die?
No.
Did you die?
No,
who died?
I got injured.
Oh.
He broke his leg.
But you really injured or like?
No, I really injured.
Oh, okay.
Like, I broke my leg or something. Right?
So you fucked his spleen or something.
Wow.
Yeah, worse.
I know. The leg wasn't enough. He was actually injured. He needed surgery. So
this
it's
wasn't
a,
like a little vertigo.
Spleen,
right?
The spleen was ruptured. Yeah. Okay, well, go on.
I used to make fun of people that said vertigo until I fucking got it. And this shit will fuck you up. Oh my God.
No, it's not vertigo. It's not vertigo.
Oh, I used to make a joke.
Big deal, right?
Oh, shit. But I used to literally make fun of everybody with their nonsense and their vertigo, and I was like, ¿qué es eso? This is either bullshit or cosa de viejo.
Cosa de viejo.
Oh my Lord, you can't even like function when that shit's
okay
happening.
So you hit him anyway. And he got vertigo and his spleen ruptured.
And his spleen ruptured. Wow.
And he survives.
And you survived.
So it used to be that if the jury said, okay, I was speeding, so I'm 51% at fault, and you took the red light, so you're 49% at fault, well, you gotta pay me for the 49% that you're responsible, right? That makes sense. It's no longer the case. So same set of facts, you owe me zero. You basically are not responsible for anything, even though you blew the red light, because the jury found that because I was speeding, I was 51% responsible.
So if you're more responsible than the other party, now you're out of luck.
Now you are just...
You're fucked.
But if it was 49-51... Then she's totally on the hook?
Nope.
No?
You would think so, but
right.
No.
I'm like,
what's good
work
for
the other
goose,
way.
No. They only have to pay you for their percentage. So if you're 51% responsible, you only pay 51% of the damages. If you're 49% responsible, you pay zero of the damages.
Wow. What if it's 50-50?
Then you pay 50. So basically,
so 50 and above,
yeah,
you're
50
fucked.
And above, you're fucked.
And this is all in the opinion of the jury, the fact finder at the time.
Correct.
About the percentages of
12 of your peers.
Do they know in the
jury? Sorry, 6 of your peers. In other words, 6 of your peers.
Oh my Lord.
Your peers who decided not to go to work that day and take the $12 for jury duty.
I think the jury usually does a great job.
But wait. Does the jury know? Is the jury being told? I mean, you know, listen to Law Shit You Should Know. Now you'll know this. But are people being told in whatever jury instruction, you know, you say 51%, this guy gets nothing with a broken spleen.
Yeah, so the way we'll read is, you know, question about the negligence, like give me the percentages, and then it would say if, you know, the defendant is 50% or more responsible, then go to question 4. If not, skip and just sign a verdict form.
Uh-huh.
Question 4 being like damages, let's say.
Yeah.
So I would say if it's 50% or more, go do damages. If you find that, if you find out the plaintiff is more than 50%,
uh-huh,
skip the next question. Just sign the verdict.
So that's it. You're fucked.
That's it. You're
fucked. But you're not being told this is what happens if you say they're 50% or more.
Well, you skip all the other questions. So, like, the next question is, like, how much do they owe? How much should we give them, right? Like,
yeah, pero mi amor, you're skipping
the monetary.
You're saying that these people are going to make all these inferences.
Six of your peers.
Oh, wow. I have no faith in humanity.
Remember, there's lawyers involved, too, right? Like, there's people trying to case.
So are you allowed to say this in your closing statement?
This is Igor's job. Six of your peers.
Say this in your closing statement. Like, oye, caballero. Even if you like, don't say 51 motherfuckers because they don't know shit. Like, no, you can't say that.
No, you can say that because it's not like nullification or anything like that.
Okay.
It's more like the defendant could get up and say, like, yeah, my client's responsible, but based on the evidence, she's only, you know, I don't know, 40% responsible.
Sure.
Which the law says she shouldn't pay anything. The defendant could say that, right?
Yeah.
So we could say the opposite, which is no, my guy is not more than 50% responsible. My guy is, you know, 30% responsible, and the defendant should pay. And if my guy was more than 50% responsible, they'd be right. The defendant wouldn't have to pay, right?
But you're telling me this comes down to them assigning blame over which is worse, speeding or taking a red light.
It does.
That's fucking crazy.
100%.
That's fucking crazy.
100%. And I don't think it's crazy. I think what's crazy is that you could be 50% responsible for something,
right,
or you could be 49% responsible for something and have zero liability. Like, you can be 49% responsible for killing somebody and walk away with zero liability.
But I feel like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's too soon to have statistics, but I'd love to see the statistics as time goes by. Mm-hmm. Because my prediction, if I were going to make a guess, would be that in something like this, where it's something like they both had a traffic infraction that caused this, I would venture to say most people say this is 50-50.
A lot of times it'd be 50-50.
Right? I mean, like, which is worse, taking a red light or speeding? They're pretty much, mm-hmm. I mean, they're not good, but they're just traffic infractions. Like, this is different from, like, which is worse, you know, shooting or not paying your child support. I mean, you know, I mean, not paying your child support's terrible, but shooting someone's definitely worse, you know? Like, but if we're talking about some minor traffic accident or some shit, you know, like, it's got to be 50-50 most of the time, no?
I think a lot of the times you'll find that it is 50-50. The problem becomes there's also bias against the people bringing the lawsuit. Right? Like, almost nobody likes people who bring lawsuits. Like, nobody's that shit, you know? So, like, you're already going into it. There were studies that were done that said that in like a random pool, right, there's 6 out of 10 people who are pro-defense in a civil case.
Mm.
So you walk into a random pool, and without jurisdiction, right, you just walk in there. And you're looking at 10 people, like 6 of them are already like not quite in your favor. So this is like only gonna make it worse.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that, actually.
Pro-defense.
Yeah, I would have thought, like, I don't know, I've never been a juror, right? But if somebody's gone through all the trouble and tried everything and here we are all being called to a trial, it's because some real shit happened here and this hasn't been able to be settled any other way, so ahora la cosa está buena. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's interesting. No, like, but I think he's right. And I know it's statistical. You didn't make it up. But I absolutely buy that. Because I think of the two times that I've sat on a jury. Because I have actually... And I've been chosen for a jury. Right. And actually sat through a personal injury accident case.
Wow.
And the whole time I was sitting there like, oh, this is a shakedown. Like, the whole freaking time. Everything they were saying, I was like, this is a shakedown. This is totally a shakedown. Like, and it was the insurance company's lawyers on one side. And it was, no offense, a freaking crazy ambulance chaser dude. The woman is sitting there with, like, my cousin Vinny neck brace, okay? And I'm watching these people like, dude, I don't even believe you, just looking at you. Like, it was so bad. And I actually got really pissed off because we never deliberated because it got called a mistrial for his bad behavior. That's how fucking, like, my cousin Vinny, this guy was, okay? So I'm sure you are much better than that, Igor.
Miami's a wild
but
place.
it was terrible. And, but I was sitting there the whole time. Like, it could have been absolutely real
on the side of the insurance.
I was on the side of the insurance and I wasn't the only one. Almost everyone was sitting there like, this guy is just, this is a total, like, middle of, she got this guy on the corner in the classifieds. He don't know what he's fucking doing.
La vieja está
sentada ahí with, like, the brace. I'm like, no. I didn't believe a word these people were saying.
You're terrible.
The judge was, like, napping on the bench.
The judge was napping.
I was like, no one's taking this shit seriously. Like, nobody. Nobody.
I mean, just because you're a shyster as a lawyer doesn't mean you're not hurt, I guess. Like,
and I'm sitting here telling you that's absolutely true. And we would have deliberated at the end. I was paying attention to the witnesses.
And you would have told everybody what a shyster you were. I mean,
no, no, because you sit there, and as a lawyer, you're sitting there, and you know better than to judge someone on their legal counsel. Like, I do. Like, I can sit there and, no, of course. And I can logically in my head, like, I'm not going to judge you on just how fucking bad your lawyer is because I'm sitting here watching how bad he is. But you think that guy didn't make an impression? And if on me he made that impression, imagine my co-jurors, okay, who don't know not to judge you on your lawyer. If I'm already sitting there like, this guy is a joke.
It's terrible.
Like, and like the utes, you know. The utes?
It's a fucking classic right there.
I mean, you know, that's what I thought I was watching. It was like a movie. I was like, this is terrible. I sat there for 3 days listening to this shit. Like, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
But it's stuff like that, right? Like, people come in into injury cases with preconceptions that this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Or, like, this is probably sketchy, you know. And, like stuff like that, the neck brace, right?
Yeah, it was soft tissue damage.
Soft tissue, right? Which is it's a real thing. But
There's tissue in your neck, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's like a real thing. But
dude, a year and a half later, you're not putting on your neck brace and sitting in a courtroom, okay? I'm not buying it. I'm sorry.
So that right there, right? That's what makes it so hard is that you as the lawyer and as the client, you have to decide things like, if you do wear that shit every day, you're not going to wear it for court. Because even though you need it and it's a real thing, the jury's going to think you're
just wearing it. Full of shit.
The moment that woman walked in, I was like, she's full of shit.
Right.
Like,
and even if your life sucks day to day, day in and day out, I'm in a lot of pain. When you testify, you better have a good fucking day. Like, hey, yeah, I'm in pain all the time. How you feeling right now? You know, this is a good day. This is a good time. Like, I'm feeling
excellent.
Good right now. Because otherwise, the jury's like, oh, she's saying she's out of pain right now because she's like fucking around.
Yeah, like fake crocodile tears and whatever. Yeah.
Oye, oye, tú eres mala.
Listen, I litigate for a living too. It's a totally different kind of litigation. No, it's a totally different kind of litigation that I do. And I do it on a bench trial, so even less sympathetic, like
no,
listening
no, no.
on
no
my side, okay?
There's
like,
no sympathy in your world.
I live in bench trial world, okay? But it's all about telling a story and getting the listener over to your side. And I absolutely hear what you're putting out there, which is the way you tell the story, the details that you use, it absolutely makes a difference to move the heart or, you know, whatever, the conscience of the person that's listening. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I do the same thing. So I totally get what you're saying. And that is a strategic decision. I would never let that woman walk in there with that brace on her neck. Absolutely not. It's like you said, it's a good day today. Today's a good day. Show me all the medical files. I would buy that. You bring me the doctor with the records that she's really fucked up. I am way more likely to believe that than, you know, my cousin Vinny sitting on the witness stand with a fucking neck brace.
Man, like, this fucking lawyer, like, he needs to stop practicing. I don't know if he's still in.
He was
after
bad.
After this, you gotta tell me his name. After we get off the podcast.
He was bad.
Very interesting.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. So, and you know, Miami, people do some really stupid shit in Miami.
Yeah, people that's do another some, thing.
We
that's
got all kinds thing. Of tourists here doing stupid shit, renting boats without licenses. Fucking, I mean, we had a Danny Sciardo on the podcast about DUIs, and actually he was talking about boat DUIs for quite a while.
Okay.
Apparently, DUIs. This is a very common phenomenon in Miami.
He's getting more boat DUIs than regular DUIs because of Uber. Apparently,
Uber has solved the car DUI problem, which is great. Hey.
You need Uber yachts
now. We need Uber yachts because you know all the famous people. But wasn't there a big boating accident recently down here? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So, man, that was crazy.
Wait, when did this happen?
This was like maybe like 3 weeks ago.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. But basically, there's like these tourist boats that they're kind of like speedboats down in Miami Beach where like they get like 15 people in one of these like speedboats.
Yeah.
They drive you around and shit. So
and half of them have like a dinosaur printed on the front or a shark or something.
And they're open.
Like, yeah.
Like that, right?
It's like the speed trip.
A professional driving person, like a professional captain.
I mean, sure. Would you like to start a business? Because we can have one tomorrow. All you need to do is buy a fucking boat. Like, but anyways, I digress. Go on.
Yeah. So one of those was like 10 people on board or 15 people on board, whatever it was. And they were just like doing their normal thing. And then there was like a yacht that was coming basically the same path that the boat was going.
Right.
And it just like I mean, it just completely broadsided the speedboat. And there's a video.
Where they just not, the yacht didn't see them? Like, yeah, the yacht, that didn't have a captain? That was, like, the hookers and coke yacht?
Yeah.
That was the hookers and coke yacht? And so they were not paying attention. They had the entertainment on board.
I think that's probably what happened. I don't know.
He's like, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Time for the disclaimer right here.
A guy I know actually has one of those clients. And so, but anyway, so basically one of the tourists was taking a video, like one of those video selfies. Oh, it's fucking great. Yeah.
We're having a great time. Woo, yeah. Miami.
You see the fucking boat, like, getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Just fucking, you see the whole
thing. Bro, is everybody drunk? I mean, everybody on the ball, everybody on this. Like, how do you, hello, there's a whole fucking ocean, guys.
We're in Miami, move bitch. Way, drink all day. Yeah. Like, that's the song.
That's what happened, probably.
I mean, like, you know.
But and so
the speedboat people are partying. The yacht people are partying.
Well, no, clearly the yacht people are partying. Oh,
you. Yeah, so as you can imagine, like, a lot of injured people. I don't think anybody died, but a lot of severely injured people. Like,
but on a serious note, I know a lot of, I've actually know personally a couple people who've been lost to boating accidents. Like, oh, yeah. it is a very serious thing in Miami. Yeah. Everyone thinks you just go out and get a boat. All you need is the money, right? Mm-hmm. But nobody actually bothers learning how to drive a boat or what the signals mean. And
mm-hmm. But, well, I'm assuming you need some kind of fake license. Me and licenses,
fake license.
We, you know, I've had these licensing issues, so but I'm assuming you need a license.
Well, you've had licensing issues?
Mijo.
That's a whole other podcast.
The government is out to get me. The government is out to get me, all right? Like,
no, but I remember when I was a kid, before I had a driver's license, we used to have a boat, and I had to actually study and pass the boating exam.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't there a fucking exam?
No, not as an adult.
Only as a kid?
Yeah. It was because I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't have a driver's license, so I had to pass the bar.
He's like, no, bitch, you're supposed to have a boat license.
As an adult, you don't need a license to drive a boat?
Uh-oh.
I don't think you do. Uh-oh.
Mira lo que pasó.
Do you need a license?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he's calling you out.
No, I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I remember passing and I remember being upset because I had to go take this whole boating thing, and it was because I didn't have a driver's license, so I was still a kid.
Holy shit.
But once you get a driver's license, I'm pretty sure you can drive a boat.
I never knew this.
And I know you have to get a fishing license. That I know. If you go fishing, you need a
fishing license. They're really important.
Right. To get the fish, you need a license.
Well, PSA, if you're standing on a bridge, even if you're not on a boat, you need a fishing license. Okay?
Wow.
Miami Fish and Wildlife, Florida Fish and Wildlife will come around and ticket your ass if you're fishing off a pier without a fishing license.
But you can go
license.
About kill 15 people. With no.
But you could rent a boat, and as long as you have a driver's license, I don't think you need anything else.
What are, like, the policy limits on these boats?
I feel like we need to Google this. Can someone Google this?
No, it just depends.
We're going to run it here at the bottom of the
It just depends. And, like, everything in Florida is really...
Is there a standard? Like, oh, you know, you lease a car, 100, 300, you know, it's like a mienda, whatever, your ratchet, 10, 20.
So in Florida...
If you're ratchet, 1020.
No, so in Florida, there's no insurance standards. The only thing in Florida that's, like, standardized for insurance is PIP.
Is PIP. So
are there
the boat,
any standards in
you
Florida
don't have
really
the,
at
any
all?
Insurance to go atropellar a todo mundo?
No.
At the sandbar.
That's what I'm trying to tell
whatever.
You. Yeah.
But what kind of wholly unregulated nonsense is this? Like,
it's Florida.
Nobody. Florida.
It's Florida.
He says it's freedom. I like
freedom.
That. It's freedom.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
That reminds me of, I don't know why it came up on YouTube the other day. It used to be, I didn't know this, but it used to be that it was legal to drink and drive.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It was legal to drink while you drove.
America.
Right?
America.
So this thing came up on my YouTube, and it was like interviews that the news had done back then
with drunk people.
No, when the law changed to, like, it's illegal.
Like, how dare you? How dare you?
And the interviews are like, I can't believe that after a long day at work, I can't get in my truck and kick back a couple buds now.
These are a bunch of fucking commies.
The government telling me what to do, you know? So that's what I think about Florida when I see stuff like that.
This fucking communist trying to, like, restrict my freedoms, my constitutional
socialism.
Excellence.
Yeah. Like, socialism at bay, you know?
This is the most Cuban conversation we've had in a while. Jesus.
So you better hope you get run down by the yacht.
But even if you do,
by some ratchet boat,
it's on the
keep
water.
It moving.
Hold on, but even if you do that's on the water, does that still count as like Florida or is that international waters?
It depends, right? Sometimes it's maritime law.
Yeah, that's why I was asking because I know there's like, a whole other.
The whole thing with the cruise, and we don't do cruise ships cases. That's like a whole area of law, but essentially, like if we're talking cruises, for example, right? Everything that happens needs to be litigated in the Southern District of Florida. It's like if it's like, whatever, Caribbean, if it's, no matter sure. what kind of boat it is, if it's like here, it's going to get litigated here,
uh-huh.
and it's maritime law, it's federal, and it's like, it's basically a completely different fucking thing.
And you're talking about the big cruise lines, like if you correct. Sue Royal,
like when
you
go over,
Carnival.
You know how people keep disappearing and get dumped across.
Yeah.
Disappearing.
Are you
people
registered?
People are disappearing.
Disappearing. divorce is expensive. Oh yeah, are you signed up? Side note.
Karen was on that boat.
Side note. Are you coming to the Leslie and Alina 40th birthday cruise in September?
No, I wish I could. But
we're not going to talk about that.
All right,
we don't have insurance for that.
We don't have insurance for that. But Carnival does. No, we're on Royal Caribbean. But Royal Caribbean has insurance for that. So Alina,
I did. I broke my leg on Royal Caribbean ship. Yeah, I did. Years ago.
No, but I'm seeing if like Pledge Agreements throws her overboard.
Pledge Agreements is her loving name for my husband.
For her husband.
And it's like, who is Pledge Agreements?
Pledge Agreements, why is he?
We had a case many years ago and Pledge Agreements were at issue.
My husband was her opposing counsel in another life.
In another life. So if Pledge Agreements throws her overboard, we can't call you.
No, we don't do this case.
No, okay.
I feel like I'm more likely to throw him overboard.
100%, by the way. I was trying not to say it on the air in case he gets disappeared.
Sounds like you just confessed ahead of time.
Oh, man, don't jump off the ship, honey. We'll be on a cruise on Friday. Please don't jump off the ship.
But you guys saw the fucking, what was it called? The Delilah or whatever? The big-ass container boat?
No.
So
tell us.
It was in Michigan, so.
Oh, yes, with the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was called Delilah.
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
That's such a random fact that you know the name of the boat. Like, what are you talking about?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So the container ship, it lost control of its brakes or something. And so the rudder,
steering,
I don't know, the steering. Yeah, yeah, thank you. And so it crashed into the big bridge in Baltimore. It's like the most well-known bridge. I've driven over that bridge, actually.
Killed like six people or some shit.
Yeah, it killed a ton of people. The only good news there was that because they lost control ahead of time, they were able to call and warn.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get a bunch of people off the bridge. But there were still people stuck, and it killed several people.
People doing their repairs and stuff.
Yeah, and it destroyed traffic forever because it's like a major interstate. Right.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So I'm sure there's lots of lawsuits going on with that, right?
There's only one right now.
Okay.
The city of Baltimore sued the company.
Okay.
Because they were saying, like, basically that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because you got to remember, like, a whole bunch of shit had to happen. The bridge is fucked. That's going to be multi-millions of dollars to repair.
Right.
The traffic situation.
Right.
That's going to cost gazillions of dollars.
Emergency services must have been millions. Yeah.
Correct. And so they got sued, and the company wanted to have it capped for some reason. They were saying some law would make it capped to like $45 million. Some number that's still pretty big. But the city
but it
like,
ain't rebuilding a bridge.
Right. The city was like, no, that's
inflation.
I mean, there's six dead people. 45 million?
No,
like,
so this wouldn't include the dead people.
Oh,
this
wouldn't include the dead people.
Like the city.
That's an addition.
Dead people, those
this is a city issue.
Yeah,
okay, okay. Those just haven't been filed
but
yet.
What is
right.
it,
okay.
But what is the company trying to say? Like, hey, when I sue the city, I'm capped, so fuck you. When you sue me, you're capped? Like, what is...
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was because the cap was so big that it wouldn't be a sovereign immunity thing. Sovereign immunity is typically like $1 million or $200,000, depending on the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So $45 million doesn't sound like a sovereign immunity cap.
Yeah.
My guess is there was some interplay of either local law or some contract situation.
Yeah, I was thinking some contract situation.
Yeah,
but
I don't know the details that specifically for it.
I feel like we need to pause and explain what sovereign immunity is because the two of you seem to know, but I'm sure half the people listening have no clue what that
That's
means.
That's like another terrible... Well,
terrible.
Including mostly myself.
No, it is total bullshit. It's total bullshit.
It's kind of total bullshit.
Come on now.
It's kind of total bullshit.
I feel like I just had a law school moment. Sovereign immunity cap.
Yeah.
I mean, because some of it's really egregious. Like you just said, some of it's like $200,000. I mean, it's not, come on.
That's what I think
that's
is
fucking
bullshit.
Bullshit.
That's what I think is bullshit.
Yeah.
That the caps are too low, right?
Yeah.
The concept of the caps, like I could agree with that from the perspective of like, you don't want a city or a county fuck up to be so big right. that it destroys.
It's like
the
going bankrupt.
County,
right? Like you don't yeah. need the city of Sweetwater, like
it's Sweetwater,
Sweetwater, where I'm sure shootings and shit do happen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and whatever to be liable for right. $50 million or whatever in bankruptcy.
Or 100 or 200 right. or something that right. will destroy the city. Right, that'd be a huge problem. But because yeah. with business is different, right? For me, if your business fucks up so bad that you're going bankrupt because of it, good. Like, fuck off.
He's like good.
Yeah, like, fuck off. Like, you shouldn't be operating.
Comunista. No.
Like, you shouldn't be operating at that level of just craziness where you get hit with a verdict so large that you're out of business, right? If that
right.
happens, then that's on you, bro. For a city,
wow, it's a little brutal,
different.
Man. Yeah. It's a little harsh. It's
no,
a little harsh.
No, I think that's
just
right.
Yeah. Yo, I mean, as a proud 7-Eleven, no, I wish I fucking owned a 7-Eleven. Anyway, I wish I owned a 7-Eleven.
Well, you know, I mean, just own a 7-Eleven in Coral Gables. We've discussed
this.
Don't buy one in the hood.
No, but I'm sure the best place to own one is in the hood.
Of
no?
course. But that's where the highest liability will be as well.
Just need good insurance, you know?
I mean, really good insurance.
So, but I don't think we actually explained what sovereign immunity
no,
is.
No,
right.
So we got distracted.
Right.
ADD.
It's a limit. It's a limit of how much money you could get from city and aliens or state and aliens or county and aliens. Basically, anything that's like politician run or anybody that runs as an agent of a political subdivision. So let's say the county hires a busing
company. Wait. Does this also apply to like, because you just said agents. So
yeah.
I'm sorry. City of Sweetwater. We're going to continue with Sweetwater. I don't know. You know, crazy. Is there a mayor of Sweetwater? I don't fucking know. Whatever. That clown is the one that shoots up whatever. He's cat like.
Yeah.
Like you could
sure.
sue him for whatever.
Sure. No, for sure. They're
but
cat. So,
the
so
city of Sweetwater,
the
in their
cap,
park,
the city's cap,
that they should have known was dangerous.
Yeah, they're cat.
They're cat.
And the people who work for the city who are in the scope of employment, same cat.
Right, I was going to say a better example is a police officer.
Police
right?
officer.
Like
great
police
example.
Officer
but I wouldn't have
shoots
politicians.
Someone. Runs after someone and shoots them, and
yeah.
it was a wrongful shooting. You can still sue them, but
yeah,
cap. They're capped.
Unless it's like a 1983, which we don't do. That's like this whole civil rights fucking thing, which is very, very, very hard.
What's that? What do you mean?
So, 1983 is like this federal scheme, and it was created for like when stuff was like really, really racist, right?
Got you.
Where like people would like the chief of police would be like, oh, we're gonna arrest all kinds of black people here.
I
know?
Got you.
Like
got
literally
you.
From the top, you know, like it was like a thing that was authorized.
Right.
And so it was to make the states comply with like, hey, we're not gonna be racist now, right?
Right.
So
I got you. I got
some
you.
States didn't want to, some towns didn't want to, that kind of stuff. So if there's a policy that's in place that violates a constitutional right.
Like if you fall under that federal statute, then
right.
Palante.
No cab,
palante.
Fees, but it's very hard to do because we're not at that level of racism anymore. We're like, you know, Miami says, oh, we're going to pass this resolution where we're going to like arrest black people. Like that doesn't quite happen.
Let's
like that.
Arrest all the Hispanic people.
Yeah.
No, the Karens. They're dangerous.
Karens are the minority in Miami anyway.
So that doesn't happen really at that level. So
right.
So for all intents and purposes, you're capped, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the caps suck. And so what it means is if you get killed by a city bus, you're capped at 200,000. Your family gets 200,000. Doesn't matter how much money you made. Doesn't matter how much money you were going to make. Doesn't matter pain and suffering. Like 200 grand, that's all you
need. And is there any kind of argument to get around that?
No, you get a claims bill, which is basically like once you get a verdict in excess of the cap, you go to legislature and say like, hey, like we want you to vote to approve more than...
Just get the fuck out of here.
Correct. So it doesn't happen very often.
I was about to say, I'm assuming she's
the
laughing because this never happened.
Didn't you just go visit our legislature?
I did. I went to Tallahassee.
Half of them don't know.
To lobby our legislature.
Oh,
I
Lord
did.
Jesus.
Help
this
us.
This is the same people who just
Jesus,
passed the law
the wheel.
To make it worse for people to get paid. So imagine that.
Yeah. They don't even know this law exists. I mean, come on now.
I had to explain. Let me.
She's like, let me not.
I've lobbied in Tallahassee.
Yes.
It was an interesting experience.
Yeah,
it was
a
really interesting experience to lobby in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
her picture might go on the wall next year that she's not allowed back if she starts explaining.
That's not true.
The experience right now.
Yeah. That part's true. I think we should just keep it at.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful experience.
Eye-opening.
It was eye-opening, but we felt like we actually made some educational difference. Wow. I'll say that much.
Well, yes.
I did feel good about that part.
They also had their eyes open.
Yeah, a little bit of eye-opening.
About their own laws.
A little bit. Yeah.
Sure.
Just
sure.
a tad.
That'll redash it, man.
All right, so continuing on our planes, trains, and automobiles adventure here, can we talk about planes? Because it's all over the news. I feel like we cannot end this podcast.
I just found out about this at a tax workshop like a week ago that Boeing had their fucking doors
are crashing
off.
And burning, literally.
And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, how is the plane still in the air? Like, did the whole plane crash?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the former engineer is like, but didn't they lose pressure?
I'm like, did they lose pressure? You know, like, what are you talking about?
Almost.
What the fuck do you mean the door came off? Like, a glass, what?
I mean, that's one event, but the point is that there have been, like, consistent, persistent events with Boeing over the, I think the big crashes were, like, 2017 and 2018 is when, like, 150
people
died.
Their PR department
is
doing a great job, but I'm in Tero.
You still watch the news
I gotta get out of this office.
Leslie doesn't know current events.
Leslie doesn't know anything, what's going on in the world? Amazing.
It's no. Like, two planes went down, 17 and 18, killed over 150 people or something like that.
Here in the U.S.
No.
Plus. They were, 150 and 180, something like that.
I said 150 plus. Yeah, 150 plus on each plane. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then those are just the big catastrophic ones from 17 and 18. But since then, they've had, like, a nice stream of...
Fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Doors coming off and whatever.
Yeah, and you know, I heard on, maybe this is wrong, but shout out to Elvis Duran in the morning show, I actually heard on the radio that the door that floated off landed, like, in the water, wherever this was, landed in the backyard of the attorney, of the attorney that's suing them.
Oh, no.
And I was like, if that is a sign from God, like, sign from God ever. Like,
that would have been fun,
that's wrong. News is wrong. Sorry.
Fake news.
No, I was like a high school teacher.
Oh, okay, okay.
That would be fucking amazing. Can you imagine?
Or
that?
Some other part. I heard some part. Maybe it wasn't the door, but something happened.
This is an attorney that would say that shit just to get himself.
I'm going
to
Google this too.
So he can find.
I heard some piece of some Boeing airplane landed in the yard of the guy who's suing, like the attorney who's suing.
So that
Boeing.
Wouldn't surprise me because they have all kinds of shit going on.
I need to look it up.
So wait a minute, because so this is happening apparently recently, and but the planes aren't falling out of the sky.
No,
so
but they're like the door fell off was like the classic example because there was video and all this fun stuff. There's been other things, like there was an engine failure one reported. There was one where like some plug wasn't working.
It's a company-wide culture
problem. I was going to say, this is like one of those lagging indicators of fucked up shit that's been happening for 10 years or whatever.
It's been going on since like 2011, basically.
Wow.
So the kind of the short story is the 737 MAX is basically the 737 Plus. 737 is fucking great. It's been out there for 60 years.
It's a standard plane in the industry.
Since the 60s,
are we riding on these fucking things? Yes. I'm asking her because she books all the planes.
Yes, everybody flying the airlines that we fly are riding on these things.
Yeah.
Is there an alternative?
Not really.
This is getting better and better.
So basically, the two big ones are Airbus and Boeing. Yeah. And they control like 80% of the commercial market.
Right.
So if you're flying
in a commercial airplane,
Is it going to be Boeing or is it going to be Airbus?
80% of the commercial air flights are going to be on one of these two companies.
Yeah. So what happened was in 2011, Boeing got a call from the clients. It should be like United or Spirit or whatever, and they were like, "Hey, Airbus has this new line of planes, and they're more fuel efficient."
They're cheaper than you, bitch.
They're cheaper to operate. Like, whatever. We are thinking we're going to source our planes with them, but we've been in a relationship with you guys for a long time, so we want to give you guys the opportunity to tighten up. Like, come up with something.
Has this come out in, like, a deposition or something? How do we know this story?
There've been congressional hearings.
FAA reports.
Yeah, go look up the congressional hearings. They're really fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, this is not a secret.
I was like, this is well known out in a whistleblower deposition.
Leslie, this is well known public knowledge.
Everybody knows.
Go on. I'm sorry.
So, basically, Boeing then decides, okay, we can't make a new plane. This is going to take us 10 years, 12 years to just make a completely new plane. We're going to use the 737 and modify it. to make it lighter, more fuel efficient, whatever it is. We're just going to make it better. It's going to be a lot shorter. The accreditation process a lot more lax because you're not having to
We're going to soup up the plane.
Right.
Soup up the plane.
The problem was now we're talking speed. Now it's like, oh, we got to do this fast. Like, these people are, like, waiting on us. And if we don't do it fast enough, we're going to lose to Airbus. And then once those contracts kick in,
we're screwed.
Like, that's going to be a long-term relationship. Sure. It's not going to be like, oh, today I get Airbus and tomorrow I get Boeing. Right. So there's a lot of pressure from the top to do things fast. They modified the 737 to make it a 737 MAX. It doesn't fly like it used to. Like, it has this weird shit when, like, depending on how you're flying it, it starts going up. So to modify that without retraining the pilots, they were like, we're going to add this system in place.
Right.
That's going to make it go down when it goes up. So the moment that does that weird shit, like, we're going to stabilize it.
The plane is self-stabilizes,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
And so the pilots have not been trained on any of the changes, is my understanding.
And the reason they have not been trained is because the contracts with the airlines had a clause in it to incentivize Boeing to make planes that did not need retraining.
Right.
Because training is very expensive. If they make a plane and now
so even if you try to retrain, you're in violation of the contract.
It'd be $1 million a plane.
So
like, we got all those planes out there. If we do this, it's going to cost us like billions of dollars.
I mean,
so
can we have a little workshop? Or, like, I mean, what is the definition of retraining? Can we do a weekend?
You'd weekend have to retreat show pilots with a video. How to respond. I mean, it's a big deal, right?
Talk about policies and procedures and fucking, oh my
That's
God.
That's a whole other problem.
Holy
That's
shit.
That's a whole other problem. So basically, they said, okay, fuck it. We're not retraining anybody. We got to do it fast. Right?
We have
to do it fast. We're not retraining anybody. We'll put this thing in there. It was called the MCAS. And we'll put this thing in there that when it goes up, it'll go down. And there was a design flaw, which probably came as a result of the speed required, which was, hey, it's only going to be tied to one sensor. So whether the plane goes down or not is, if the sensor says, hey, we're doing this weird maneuver, then the thing's going to activate and it's going to push us down. Which means if this thing fucking fails and the plane isn't going up, you're crashing.
Right?
And so the reason that happens...
We laugh, but it's serious.
Yeah, it's very serious. The reason that happens is because when you have a culture of, like, we got to do it fast and it's got to be cheap and all of that...
Bueno, bonito, barato.
Quality goes to shit. Right.
Right. And when somebody... Like, they're not stupid, right? When somebody says, hey, this shouldn't have a single point of failure, like, this should have multiple ways of knowing whether the plane is doing this thing... Probably somebody said, no, it's going to take too fucking long. Like, we can't afford to have this thing built in. We're already delayed. So it'll take too long. It'll be fine.
We'll be good.
Yeah, we'll be good.
It's an airplane. What's going to happen?
Right. Add to that the pilots did not know that this thing was in the plane.
Because they were retrained.
Not only were they not retrained, but it wasn't in the manual. So nobody knew that there was something.
You just never think shit like this could happen. Yeah.
We have to reprint manuals. How many manuals would we have to reprint?
No, caballero, no me digan esto.
Yeah. And so the pilots didn't know that all of a sudden this could happen because they didn't know there was something on the plane that would make it go down. So they didn't know how to react.
Right. So if a plane starts going down, a pilot's trained to deal with it, but they have no idea how to fix the fucking system or what to do.
Add to that the pilot was supposed to react in 4 seconds or less. So Boeing knew that if they react in 4 seconds or less, everything's fine.
Oh, well, right? But, you know.
They also knew that a certain percentage of pilots would react in 10 seconds or more. And at that point, it's over. Like, everybody did.
Oh.
So, yeah.
What percentage of these pilots do they more than 10 seconds? I mean, well, this was acceptable risk, is what I'm asking.
That's what I calculated acceptable.
Somebody, some actuary somewhere that I imagine gets paid a lot of money, ran some fucking numbers, you know, the nerd in the back, mm-hmm. and said, oh, bueno, the lawsuits will cost this much, but redoing the planes cost that much. Yeah. So
that's
fuck it? Is that what happened here?
The lawsuits will cost less than the plane
crashes.
That's
it. And that is, like, it takes you all the way back to, like, you know, when we talk about profits over people as injury lawyers, that's it right there. Like, somebody did a fucking math and said that we're likely going to have, you know, 1,000 dead people.
At a very, every time, this sounds to me like, oh, wow.
And then they said, oh, it's going to cost us X billion to do something different. It's going to cost us $2 billion to
settle all these lawsuits.
Yeah, let's fuck it. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
And there's an additional component of actual doors and engines and whatever are fucked up. Because I hear a lot about this, but I'm like, what do you mean a door fell off a plane, bro? That's not okay.
As you can imagine, the culture that leads this to happen, where you're doing shit fast, installing shit with...
No training, no manuals,
single point of failure. Like, the culture that leads to this, if it's not fixed, it'll continue to cause problems forever. So this all happened. 2011 is when, like, the competition situation happened, and they had to rush the new, you know, 737 Maxes and all that. Plane crashes 2017, 2018. It was, like, Air Lion and Air Ethiopia, I think.
Ethiopia was definitely one of them. I remember that.
For the MCAS thing. The MCAS thing got figured out. It got stopped. Like, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
But the competitive pressures are still there.
Right. Like, so there's other fuck-ups along the way.
Yeah. Airbus is not going away. Like, Airbus is actually, they're going to win if Boeing doesn't tighten up. And so in the factories, there's still that culture of we got to do faster and cheaper and fuck safety and all that stuff. So they had a recently when the door blew off.
The Air Alaska plane.
They've done, like, FAA's done a whole bunch of investigations, and they found loose bolts in the planes after they've been delivered. So, like, they've been delivered, they do audits, the bolts are not tightened. That door had missing bolts, so it was supposed to have, like, 8 bolts, it only had, like, 3, right? Like stuff like that.
Just screw that shit on and deliver it, dude. Like,
fuck it, you know? And so what they found was that they had policies in writing. They had, like,
They said you should have 8 bolts, yes. Yeah, I'm sure there are.
And they had, like, the safety management systems would say, you know, safety is our top priority.
Right.
Safety all is lip all we service. Care
but it's
about,
not.
Right?
Lip service.
But when they went into, like, the production lines and they spoke to the people, they didn't know what the fuck the manual said.
They were like, what manual?
They didn't know, like, what the safety requirements were. They would do this audits of, like, let's say you audit 27 or 30 manufacturing processes, and they would fail like 40% of the time. Like 40% of the time, it was not in accordance to what the manual said it should be. And that was on the Boeing side, and like on the, there's this other company called Spirit Aeronautics or something like that, which used to be Boeing, but then they sold it off, they split it off, whatever. But wasn't there
like an engine failure in Denver recently?
It's been engine issues.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I think in Denver was the one where, like, when the plane was taken off, the engine, like, stalled and it almost
dropped 10,000 feet back down. Sure.
Didn't hit anything, thankfully.
But everyone was cool. No big deal.
Yeah, I mean.
It's just like.
Yo, they got lucky because when the door blew out, the change in pressure fucked up like that roll that was right there, but there was nobody there. So if there had been people there, it would have been terrible.
Yeah.
But they got so fortunate that row was empty.
So it sounds like, all right, so the FAA is aware of this, because there's congressional hearings.
Yeah.
So what has our lovely government done about this insanity? Are there inspections happening? Are we making sure there's 8 bolts, maybe 6 minimum? You know what I'm saying? I don't need perfection here, but like, I need to not die on
more
the way
than,
to
more than 30%,
one of our conferences. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not married. I have no children. The wrongful death statute doesn't work for me. You know what I mean? Like, my mom's not gonna get shit. Like,
I mean, so. Yeah, they are doing stuff. There's been more hands-on inspections. They grounded a whole bunch of planes. Yeah. Some of them are still grounded. They can't really fly just yet. Some of them are pending accreditation. Like, I think the MAX 9 and 10 have not been accredited. So I imagine they'll be a little bit more rigorous before they accredit them.
Meanwhile, our flights are going to keep going up in price.
Yeah.
Our flights are going to continue to go up in price.
Well, you know, I'd rather not die.
There's a shortage of airplanes.
There's
a shortage of functional airplanes.
I'd rather make it to, where's the next one? New Orleans or whatever. Yeah. That's where we're going.
I mean, I'm headed to Seattle in 3 or 4 days.
I'm sure that 737 MAX is
going to
be great.
I'm going to go look it up as soon as we hang up here. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go look up what kind of plane I'm flying on.
So when somebody dies on one of these door fly-off incidents, is that always a federal claim too?
So part of it's federal claim, part of it's going to be products liability. So it really depends. But I think for the most part it's going to be federal, because a lot of this shit's going to be across state lines, across like multiple manufacturing points, like all that stuff.
Because I'm assuming everybody sues everybody across the board, right? Boeing, the manufacturer of the door, the manufacturer of the fucking bolt. Everybody's joining this party, baby.
The dude who put three instead of eight bolts.
Everybody's joining this party. Yeah, the manual printer, you know.
So the plaintiffs are probably going to sue everybody.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like the people who died and stuff are going to sue everybody. But for Boeing, like they can't really sue too many people as indemnification or anything like that. Because it's kind of fucking outrageous, right? Like the stuff that's being documented, it's like people were using dung, like, you know, the soap?
Yeah.
Like people were using soap to figure out if like something was airtight or not. And they were using, like, dome bottles, like, you know, fucking Fabuloso and shit.
Fabuloso!
As you can imagine, like, that's probably not standard, like, aeronautical, you know.
It's not. So, like, to see if there's an air bubble? Yeah, is that what you mean? So, oh, that's funny.
So,
like, put some soap on it. If it bubbles, there's air coming in.
Maybe that's a good way to do it. I don't know. But the point being that was not what the
procedure. That don't sound legit, my friend. Yeah. That don't sound legit. Even if it is, like, the standard. Like, if I'm on the jury, I'm not made to feel warm and fuzzy about that.
And people were using credit cards to apply certain things on the planes. Like, you know, you get a credit card, you're like, I want to put some glue in something. Or
like this instead of like
to seal shit. So, but
my handyman does that.
this has come out in hearings.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
How does Boeing recover from this? So, do they just have such a market share that it doesn't fucking matter?
No,
I mean, how do they stay in business? How does American Airlines ever buy another fucking plane from these people?
I tell you how they recover. They're getting a new CEO, so the CEO's out. So that's a start. They are saying that they're going to move back senior management to where the actual things are built. So, like, it used to be, like, back in, like, I think it was in the 90s, they merged with another company. It was called McDonnell Douglas or something like that. And McDonnell Douglas used to make military stuff for the most part. And they were very profitable. They were very, very profitable, which is a good thing, except for... it's at the expense, or it was at the expense of, they were not as safe as Boeing. Like, they didn't care as much as Boeing at, you know, the safety shit. Boeing was not as profitable, but it cared a lot more about safety. So what happened was they merged in the 90s, and they were like, oh, this company's fucking great. Like, they make all this more profit than we do. We should see what they're doing that's, like, good, right? Clearly,
we know what they're doing.
Clearly, like, it didn't work out too well. So one of the things that they did was they used to have senior management in the... production sites. So where they built all their planes, there used to be that the headquarters for management was in that region. They moved it to like fucking Chicago, like miles and miles and miles away.
Oh, so the people making the decisions had no concept of what was actually happening on like the factory line, so to speak, right? Listening to all the engineers fucking losing their mind and bitching.
The dude bolting in the bolts.
Right. It's not the same thing.
Possibly bolt in eight in the amount of time he's allowed.
No, no. And it's not the same thing, I guess, to be the engineer that's going to storm into your office and be like, yo, that plane's going to fucking go down if you guys continue your shit, versus getting an email of like, this shit sucks, right?
Because they also had that. They had whistleblowers, not whistleblowers. They had engineers who were saying, "Hey, we shouldn't be making these planes because it's like not safe." And boys, I fucked that.
Erased that email. Spam. Chomp.
But
like that shit's discoverable. They had like a fucking algorithm going around and like removing that shit from the hard drive.
But how they fix it is that they get a new CEO that sets a different culture. They move management back to...
How early on did, like, American Airlines know about this bullshit?
Like, the problems?
Yes, or whoever, right? We, obviously, my work wife here always books on American. I don't second guess what she wants. It's fine. But, like, I imagine these people, A, they put a little bit of pressure, fine. But at some point, I'm thinking they knew before the rest of us were dying.
So that's unclear, right? Right now, it sounds like they learned when the planes fell. Like, it sounds like when...
Like, nobody noticed three bolts instead of eight? Even, you know, there's maintenance that has to happen. I'm assuming Boeing doesn't show up at MIA to screw, you know, make sure the fucking bulbs are there.
That's true.
So who the fuck is that, you know, who is that American Airlines guy that goes, yeah, this door don't look right, but fuck it. Hashtag not my job.
Hashtag not my job. That's right.
This is wild.
So it wouldn't surprise me.
No te metan lo que no te importa.
Thank God my tickety talk tarot reader said I'm going to live a long life because I'd be very concerned.
Thank God you believe her.
Why not? Like,
So it wouldn't surprise me if like things came up in maintenance. But I think that you wouldn't necessarily know how big the problem is, right? Like, if you're like, hey, this is weird.
It's missing a few bolts, but...
Yeah. Oh, listen, if you're the guy who looks at the bolts and says there's a bolt missing, you're like, oh, fuck, we got to replace the bolt. You put the next bolt on and you call it a day, right? If you catch it, do you really think, oh, it must be that Boeing sent out 100 airplanes with three bolts, right? Like, yeah. I hear what you're saying. Like,
it's a level of trust because they've been doing business for so long.
And you're seeing a very small portion of the issue.
Well, like I said, everybody's fucking getting sued and everybody's coming to this party. Everybody down to the printer that fucking printed the manuals or didn't, whatever.
Yeah, like, everybody's getting some.
I can imagine.
Everybody's getting some.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think we need to stop now.
Everybody's getting some is my favorite line of this podcast.
I think that'll be the name of the podcast.
Jamie, pay attention.
All right. Well, this has been Law Shit You Should Know. Before we close out, Igor, any final words for our listeners and viewers?
I would say hopefully we see nothing crazy continue to happen in Florida. I think that we've seen a lot of this tort reform shit that happened. Hopefully it's not an indicator of more tort reform to come. Because it just makes everything less safe, you know what I mean? Like, this stuff that's happening with Boeing, the stuff that's happening with boats, like all that stuff. At the end of the day, the question is there enough accountability for the people doing these things? Like, when the big companies say it's going to be cheaper to pay the lawsuit than it is to keep people safe, the bigger that delta becomes, the more likely they are to make these decisions. If the answer is no, it's not going to be cheaper to pay these lawsuits because the lawsuits are going to be very expensive, so we're not going to do that, then that's how everything gets safer, you know? So hopefully we don't see anything crazy to continue to happen.
That's why the metropolis now have one less security guard.
Metropolis is long gone. And for the record, I have no idea why they closed. I am not trying to say that they closed due to safety issues. Metropolis was an excellent time.
Alina did not get shot. Yeah.
I did not get shot. I never felt unsafe at Metropolis. Okay. For the record. Anyways, this has been Law Shit You Should Know with Elise Tan and Leslie Marenko. Join us again next time for another episode.